It's so nice to have everyone here with us today. What a blessing it is to come together and celebrate and worship our loving Jesus Christ. He is everything for us. He is what makes our lives have meaning. As we begin, let's go to God in prayer. Loving God, as you provide everything for us through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we ask that you would take this message and you would speak it however you want, and certainly however you want us to hear, individually or collectively. God, it is yours. And I ask that you would just get me out of the way and that this message would be exactly what you intend for it to be. And we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Today's message, the title is, What Are You Watching For? And that can have a lot of meaning, but we're going to explore a certain aspect of that as we go through today. Today is, as you noted earlier, the first Sunday of Advent. We have begun a new Christian calendar season, and today is the first Sunday of Advent. And as we do so today, as you noted, the candle of hope was lit today. What a blessing to have that, to begin with hope. Are you hopeful today? Are you hopeful for the future? From today's reading from Mark 13, verses 24 through 37, did anything jump out at you? Did you pick up on a certain point that kind of resonated with you? Did it bring up a memory from your church past? Does this text frighten you or excite you as you heard those words being said? Jesus is using apocalyptic language in this text. Apocalyptic was a way to draw attention to catastrophic or life-changing, world-changing realities. It was used in the Old Testament in Ezekiel, Isaiah, and primarily in Daniel to talk about cataclysmic events of the time and sometimes to shine a light toward future events. In the New Testament, apocalyptic is used in the passage here in Mark, and then most famously in John's in the book of Revelation. These bizarre images of beasts, dragons, blood moons, were used to talk about events at the time of the Roman Empire and to shine a dim light into the future. The ancient historian Josephus describes the siege of the temple of 70 AD. Most of the victims were peaceful citizens, weak and unarmed, butchered wherever they were caught. Round the altar, the heaps of corpses grew higher and higher, while down the sanctuary steps poured a river of blood, and the bodies of those killed at the top slithered to the bottom. This passage is, as we have said, primarily about the fall of the temple in 70 AD, and it also sends echoes to the end of the world. Remember what it was primarily about, though. Today, we look at three cautions regarding reading some of the most difficult scriptures and talking about one of the most difficult topics, the end of the world, not the end of the earth. The first caution is fixation. Fixation is an obsessive interest in or feeling about someone or something. When we get fixated on the end of all things, it can be easily to forget what, and most importantly, who is right in front of us. We lose sight of that. Obsessing over signs and symbols can lead to distraction, fear, or worse. Recently, I have received emails concerning those very topics, including a video. It is something that people still in this world at this time are somewhat fixated on. Paul dealt with this escapist mindset in writing to the Thessalonian church. And again, for the last month, we have been talking about the church in Thessalonica and some of that end time mentality. I'll go back to 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 11 and 12. And today, all the scriptures that I refer to are in the English Standard Version. To aspire to live quietly, this is verse 11, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. To aspire to live quietly and to mind our own affairs. That was the admonition. The cure for fixation is hope, and that is our Advent theme today. The first Sunday of Advent is we had the hope candle lit. We have the greatest hope that God will put things to rights and the world isn't all there is. That is something we can fixate on, is that God will put things to right and that this world isn't all there is. The second caution of forgetting. Regarding the apocalypse, fixating on it tunes us out of our blessings and responsibilities in this life. It becomes more than what is reality. Forgetting about it tunes us almost too far in. We become so obsessed with building our house in this world that we forget it's on sand. We forget our day-to-day blessings and responsibilities, and we focus on something that really will not last. It will go away. It is, as it says, built on sand. The modern world is eminently distracting. I'm going to paint a little bit of a word picture with some objects, and I want you to think about and try and visualize as we talk about these. Family. In the history of mankind, most families stayed in relatively close proximity to one another. Throughout history, there has been some that have gone great distances, but most families stay in a nucleus of a region. Today, as we look, especially in the United States, we have families that move across the nation from one another. Children grow up and get married and move and take jobs in states that are multiple states away. That nucleus of close proximity is not there in a physical sense. But we have the telephone and people call and they can connect and talk about their lives and share their lives. Think back a few hundred years ago, thousands of years ago, that wasn't available. You could talk when you saw somebody and only then. But today we even go so far as the video calls. Even this church service today, you can look at and see one another. We can converse with one another and we're miles apart. If you have FaceTime on a telephone, and many families connect with FaceTime, it is that world that we live in it, digitally, it has brought us so close. But even if you lived on the far side of the world, we could still connect on this call, on this digital church. That's the beauty and the reality of where we are. Distance isn't what separates us today, because we have technology that allows us to see and talk with one another. Another one is the ability to read. Throughout the history of mankind, written word has not always been there. In most cases, a lot of people have grown up without the ability to read. And there are still people today that are termed illiterate because they don't read. We in this country especially have libraries that maybe were more prominent a decade or two ago, but libraries nonetheless are where people go and read and get books. But our world has the internet. And if you're one of those that has access to the World Wide Web, everything is attainable. We don't go to the library. We don't seek an encyclopedia. We Google it. We go in and ask Google, and it gives us almost an immediate answer. Case in point, last week, part of a discussion was what day of the week was November 23rd of 1963. I know I Googled it, and I'm sure some others did too. Languages. God confused the languages in the Old Testament at the Tower of Babel to slow man's attempt to build something honoring self, honoring humanity, looking outside of God. But today, we have multiple languages, but on your phone, you can have an app that will translate as you speak. It will translate almost immediately back. You can converse today with a language app. Today, we don't live in a small area. We consume and live worldwide. There's a big and a far difference from generation to generation and where we are today. Not so long ago, if something happened newsworthy, we didn't hear about it for a day and maybe even a week, depending on how far apart we were from the source. Today, it's instant. If an event happens on another side of the world or another part of the country, it's on the internet almost immediately. We have that direct access. Our world is far different today. Have we lost hope? Have we displaced that with the realities that we have instant access to things? It's easy to forget that the world is here in a delicate balance, only at the mercy of God. It's easy to forget that one day it will all come to an end, and the new age will begin with Christ enthroned again on earth. Jobs, titles, status, commissions, and that corner office won't matter at that point. Those all are on sand. They all go away. In Mark 13, verse 25 from today's reading, "And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken." The commentaries recognize and refer to this that human governments will fail. Human governments will fall apart. All of our coordinates, the things that we look at, if you go back, mariners traveled the oceans by stars, those coordinates that they would look at. We use maps, we use mileage or kilometers to measure different things. Everything you know will be shaken up when Christ returns. All of the ways we try to orient ourselves in the world, by this star, by that direction, by this map, by that atlas, by this mindset, by this political viewpoint, will fail. Everything that we once held as a sure thing will be shaken. When your anchor is not Jesus Christ, that anchor will not hold. It will fail. This year, the coronavirus, COVID-19, gained momentum globally. The headlines seemed to change every hour, and because of the internet, we had access to that every hour. In a matter of a week, the world changed, and we are waiting anxiously to hear where it will all go. Do you remember March 8th? Of 2020 was the last time we were able to meet in person, and we are still anxiously waiting to see where this goes. We don't want to put anybody at harm's way, but God knows that we are praying for an answer to this pandemic. but it is real, and it's something that we have to face. This is the time to anchor our hope beyond what we see in front of us. Don't forget about the world, but don't let it blind you either. Your hope is bigger and stronger and eternal, and it is not temporary. It is permanent. The third caution is to stay alert. Again, from today's reading, Mark 13, 32 through 33. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake. For you do not know when the time will come. Trying to predict the apocalyptic events is pointless. God's directive to us is simply stay alert. If we become focused so much on studying about those events, they will happen, but we don't know when, and we can lose sight of the reality if we try and focus and predict, and that becomes so encompassing to us. But we await the day when this is fully expressed with Christ's second coming. Yet we also live in kingdom reality now, every day with Jesus Christ. Our calling is not to be fixated on speculations, not to be overly worried about world events, and certainly not to pull back into a cave of fearfulness. No, our calling is to do what Jesus told the original followers to do. It's the same message that he gave his disciples. Share with others what we know this Jesus and his kingdom, this gospel, and its truth that delivers and transforms. Let us, with Jesus, be about our Father's business. As we go through Advent, we will be participating with worship with Jesus in the form of communion. And it is a very special time. As we think of communion, we can reflect on this communion table, this gift that Jesus provided. He even provides the meal. In symbol, Jesus gives us his body that was broken for us, and he gives his blood that was poured out for us. He wants us to remember him as often as we share this meal with him. In that upper room, Jesus took the bread provided there, and he held it, and he asked God to bless it. Father God, we do thank you for all the blessings, all the hope that we can have in Jesus, and all of the things that Jesus has done and provided for us, including dying and paying the price and giving us the opportunity as he is resurrected and ascended to your throne, the hope that there is a future. With this bread representing his broken body, we ask that you would bless it and then take and eat. He then picked up the cup. It was a common cup that was passed, but nonetheless, it was filled with wine or the fruit of the vine, representing his body or his blood that was poured and spilled out for us. He gave us his broken body. He gave us his spilled blood. Again, he asked the Father to bless. Again, God, we thank you for the image and the reality of Jesus pouring out his blood for us. We do ask that you would bless this fruit of the vine that we hold, that you would allow us never to forget. And we thank you in Jesus' name. He said, take and drink. He wants us to remember him every time. And we do that, and we thank you, and we have hope because of Jesus. Thank you for joining us today on this first Sunday of Advent with the blessing of hope. If you want to reach out to us, we can be reached at gcderby.org or on our Facebook at Grace Communion Derby. Thank you, Jesus, for the hope we have in you. It's in your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.